2 hours and a 20 yuan egg sandwich later, I arrived at the remains of my home. The building was now a charred shell. The roof and top two floors had collapsed. Blackened beams and studs leaned against each other. It looked like the skeleton of a whale that had fallen from the sky and auto-ignited on impact. Long tracks of dirt snaked up to the foundations. Onanefe and his crew sat around their Hanuman, all of them sooty and bleary-eyed. They held bowls of noodles, but none of them ate. They just stared into the distance. I picked my way over the burnt remains of the building's rose garden. You guys okay?
You missed a hell of a good time.
I was detained.
For a week?
Entropy happens. I see you saved the day here.
I don't think we ever worked like that. Cutting cane's gonna be a vacation.
Anyone else get hurt?
There were fires all over the neighborhood. Been busy for days. We had to work like hell making sure the fire didn't spread. It just got hotter after you left, so we started a bucket brigade and brought dirt up top to tamp things down. It's gonna take a while for the neighborhood garden to bounce back.
I think everyone will forgive you. I never had a chance to introduce myself. Padma Maeda.
You owe me 50,000 yuan.
You're kidding. The rest of the crew rose to their feet and huddled around him.
We never kid about wages. You own the old windswept distillery, yes?
Yes.
We own a plot out in Aranda's Flats. We raised heirloom cane, supplied a lot of distillers. I grew good stuff.
Okay, where do I come into the picture?
About a year and a half ago, I got a massive order from Estella Tongao. My entire stock for a year, exclusive. It was COD, which I never do, but Madame Tongao's reputation was impeccable. I signed, I delivered, and I never got the money.
Why?
Because she was dead.
Wait, I tried to blink up all my contracts from the distillery, but the public just gave me the finger. Ah, damn it, I can't connect right now. Look, I hope you can understand why this is a bit of a shock to me, right?
Whether it's a shock or not makes no never mind. What matters is that we get paid.
Then why didn't you bring this to me?
I did. Every month I'd send letters by courier to your office. You want to tell me you've never seen them? I've got the receipts in my kit bag.
Yes, because I haven't. My manager deals with all that.
And she wouldn't think to say, hey boss, you owe this guy 50 large?
No, he sure as hell would. But since he hasn't, that means I either have to fire him or...
You need to pay up!
We counted on that money!
I need to pay for my husband's meds!
I need to pay for fixing our compost digester!
I need to pay for my daughter's gamelan lessons!
The others looked at the last guy.
What? Flora loves playing and I don't know how to teach her.
That money was going to make a big difference in all our lives, Miss Maeda. But when we didn't get paid, we had to hustle and start working other fields to cover our collective nut.
What do you want me to do about it, then? I turned out my pockets and held up the contents. Fluff, a ticket stub from the Red Bus, and 3 2-yuan coins. This is all I've got.
What about the distillery?
What about it?
Maybe we should look into garnishing your profits until we're paid. I'm pretty sure the strike committee would be happy to add that to their list of demands.
Is there an actual list? I'd love to see it.
You come with us, we'll show it to you.
Maybe you should bring a copy here.
Hey, don't get the wrong idea. We're pissed, but we're not like that.
Good to know.
You believe this? Lady, we just busted our picks to save this neighborhood, and we don't even live here. You know, this is just like you, Inks, thinking all us freeborn are a bunch of savages.
I think you're a bunch of people who are tired, angry, and outnumber me. You'll pardon me for being cautious.
And people wonder why freeborn don't join up around contract time. Okay, Ms. Maeda, you win. I'll get someone to find a printer and show you the invoices.
And that's when someone stabbed me in the shoulder.
Parasite! Traitor!
Then he disappeared as the cutters lifted him up and away. It hurt too much to scream. I gave the knife one look, blood gushing out a hole in my shirt, the knife blade shining in the mid-morning sun, then turned away. Someone put a kerchief on the wound. One of the cutters came back with two people holding kit bags, wearing t-shirts from Santee General Hospital. They assessed my arm for a moment before one of them, a woman with a caduceus tattoo, looked at me.
Seriously? You brought us here for this?
What? Knife! Medical lady took a multi-tool from her pocket and opened the scissors. 3 quick cuts, and she pulled my shirt off my shoulder. I looked at the wound, just as she pulled a can from her bag and sprayed pink gel all over my shoulder. What's that? Ah! Ow! She slid the knife out of my shoulder. I didn't feel it. I couldn't feel anything, really. That still didn't stop my brain from screaming, "Holy shit, she just pulled a knife out of your body!" She dropped the knife into a cane glass bag.
It'll hurt like hell once the gel wears off, but you'll be okay.
Thank you for not going on strike.
I'm marching like everyone else.
Yeah, but you still patched me up.
And you can expect one hell of a bill once the public starts working again.
Medical lady blinked in my face. So it's not just me? I haven't been able to get on the public all day. Medical man nodded.
The word is that everyone in IT is striking. They shut down the servers because no one would be around to babysit them.
Just as well. My Pi hasn't been able to upload any patient data for months. Incompatible model with the latest patches. How the hell does anyone expect to get continued care?
Well, I'm good for it. Paying you, I mean.
That's what the medical committee told us before they started holding up our reimbursements. You know how much cauterize costs? That's like 60 yuan alone on your shoulder.
I looked at the pink goo. It had hardened and begun to flake away. The cut now looked like I'd just scraped my shoulder on a nail, not had a knife plunged into it.
We've been dealing with dehydration all week. At least salts are cheap. But if we start getting more knifings, we're going to be out of supplies pretty soon.
Is Santee General running that low?
Everybody's running low. Haven't you heard? Or have you been in a hole in the ground? Before the strike started, we had enough to get us through the month. But that was a month of regular life. Things get uglier with strikes.
Then who's supposed to be in charge of getting you what you need?
The medical committee. But they have no money. Don't work that shoulder for a few days. The muscle needs time to knit itself back together.
They pushed their way back into the crowd.
That was a bit of good luck, finding the medicos.
They're always handy to have around when some nut wants to stab you. I gave my shoulder a tiny roll. The cauter ice had left my entire arm numb, so I felt nothing. I peeled off the bloodied remains of my shirt and buttoned up my jacket. Where is he? Onanefe gestured toward the back of the cutter's truck.
We got him here. Lucio used to farm pigs, so he's got the guy trussed up nice. What do you want to do with him?
Talk with him. From a safe distance. My assailant lay in the truck bed, hog-tied on his belly, his head facing outward. His face was screwed up in a frown, and his eyes kept flickering from side to side. I climbed into the back of the truck and squatted in front of him. Hi there! People usually have a few drinks with me before they try and stab me. You want something?
I wanted you out of my way.
I don't even know you.
You are in my way! You are in my way!
He stared at me.
You hit me!
And you stabbed me! If you're going to get worked up over a little slap, then you're more messed up than I thought.
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm doing the people's work. I'm one of history's select.
Selected by who?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I sure would, seeing how it might keep you from getting tossed into the clink.
Who's going to do it? Huh? The police? They're with us. Besides, when they find out what I was doing, they'll let me go. I'm a hero, me.
For stabbing innocent women?
You were in my way. No one is innocent if they're in my way. I am the fist of righteousness.
Even if that fist has a knife? Eloquent. I walked back to Onanefe at the front of the truck. Does anyone know this guy?
Uh-uh. City's getting super crowded with marchers. I hear there are people sailing in.
From where?
Everywhere. It's a planet-wide strike, you know? All those farms have a couple dozen people, and there are, what, 10,000 farms across Santee?
So he could be from anywhere. Terrific.
I have the feeling he's local. Ish. His accent isn't sing-songy enough to come from the western chains, too harsh to come from the south archipelago, and too flat to come from the north. His clothes are from a Big Three catalog, not homespun. He's seen a lot of sun, but his skin's in pretty good condition. No scars, no ink. All of that tells me he's a freeborn kid from Santee City or its immediate surroundings.
You can tell all that from his voice, clothes, and skin?
That, plus he dropped a wallet stuffed with receipts from a bakery in Globus Heights.
Onanefe pulled a battered leather wallet from his trousers and held it up. Dozens of bagasse paper slips stuck out of its folds. And here I thought you were going to crack this case wide open just through observation.
So I read a few detective novels. You get a lot of downtime in this line of work.
Did that wallet tell you this guy's name?
It did not. Just that the dude loved him some proya.
I took the wallet. Well, it's a start. Did you say proya?
I'm not a fan myself. A little too sweet. I like my cornbread crumbly.
I looked at the receipts. They were all from Lipa's Bakery, where I had just met Odd Dupree before he took me to Sarian's Church. I rewound my buffer and saw it again. The knife, the anger. I rewound to just a few moments ago.
I'm one of history's select.
I rewound even farther.
We are history's select.
Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch!
Hey, mind the wheels, please. This truck is our calling card.
Sorry. I think I know where this schmuck came from.
Yeah?
You know the Temple of the New Holy Light?
I'm familiar with it.
The guy who runs it? The one who called for this strike? He tried to kill me once.
The skinny white guy? Bad teeth? Wears a white suit?
You been there?
Uh-uh. Couple of cousins got caught up 2 months ago. They were spongers, so, you know, I figured anything to get them out of the house, you know? That temple's been trying to scoop up as many people as they could into their flock. I had to tell my cousins to stay in the city before they pulled their family's work crews apart. What is it with bums and religion?
That's what I'm going to find out, right after I get a new shirt.
I saw a place on Soroyan that's still open. In the meantime, what about Stabbing Boy? You want we should find a cop?
I winked at him. That'll do. I walked down Samarkand and got as far as the corner. I turned, and Onanefe and the rest of the cutters bumped into each other as they came to a halt. All of them carried leather satchels as if they were going to work. Help you guys with something?
We're going with you, if you don't mind.
The cutters all nodded. I think I do. I took a few steps. The cutters followed suit.
It's just there's this little matter of the 50,000 yuan.
Which I'm not about to discuss without a change of clothes and a consult with my site manager. What, you think I'm going to disappear? The cutters all looked at each other, then nodded. Where can I go? Up the cable? If there's a planet-wide strike, it's probably going to extend to everyone working in orbit. Besides, it's creepy as hell to have you all following me. Knock it off.
But...
No. You got a business problem with me? Okay, then we will deal with this like business people.
But...
If I actually owe you money, I will make it right. But that doesn't mean you get to tail me, hoping I'm going to drop 50K on the sidewalk for you to scoop up. You're freaking me out, and that makes me want to call a cop, not my manager.
Cops are on strike.
Onanefe shot him a withering look, and the man shrunk behind his comrades. I'm sure they are. But they'll look out for someone from their neighborhood who's got a dozen guys following her around. Onanefe pulled his crew into a huddle. They conferred in low, unintelligible whispers. Then they stood up.
How do you feel about me going with you?
Still creepy as hell.
I would like to point out that someone tried to stab you.
What, you want to be my bodyguard?
Why not? I have a vested interest in keeping you free from harm.
Here's the deal. First, the minute I feel like you're occupying too much of my space, you go. No questions asked.
Done.
Second, if someone tries to take a swing at me, you do not step in.
What, you want me to just stand by and let you get knifed again?
No, but I would rather you not get knifed on my account.
Okay, but I'm not going to let you get yourself croaked. Dealing with probate's a bear.
I appreciate your concern.
Anything else?
Keep up. I turned and walked down Samarkand. Onanefe ran after me.
What? You always this quick.
Death threats are a great motivator. I looked up at the sun, now working its way toward the middle of the sky. Besides, this coat is hot as hell. After bumming some money from Onanefe to buy a second-hand t-shirt, we made the long, long walk to Globus Heights. With no cash or public connection to my bank account, I couldn't buy any of the food offered by the conspicuously non-striking vendors we saw. Onanefe, however, kept recognizing people along the way and cadged a sandwich here, some guava there, drinks of water everywhere. By the time we got to Lipa's bakery, I was full, hydrated, and had to pee. I assumed the woman standing in front of the bakery was Lipa herself. With no public access, every face in the city now belonged to a complete stranger. Her hair was held close to her skull in a hairnet, and her lipstick was a bright orange. She held a rolling pin in her hand, and she had a rolling pin tattooed on her cheek. I walked up to her, my knees tumbling together to keep my screaming bladder from emptying. However, before I could even ask...
Bathrooms for customers only.
Then I'll take some Proya.
That'll be 40 yuan.
Can you take an IOU? I'm good for it.
I'm good for it usually means I don't have cash.
The public's down and I had to shell out all my money for this shirt.
My money, technically.
You got ripped off.
I got this.
Onanefe held up a 10 yuan note.
What do you expect to buy with that?
A bathroom break from my friend?
Do you have any idea what my water bill has been for the past week? What toilet paper costs?
Oh, look, forget it. I'll cop a squat in an alley.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where's your dignity?
Dignity probably costs more than either of us have right now. Onanefe pulled more bills out of his pocket. He held up the wad of cash in Lipa's face.
Is that enough for her?
I do not need you covering for me, okay?
What, you worried about adding more to your tab?
You know, a few hours ago, I was prepared to give you a fair shake. I'd get my manager, talk this out, make sure we were square, but now you're pissing me off. Now you make me want to get lawyers.
Oh, look at Ms. Distiller. How's the weather up on your high horse?
At least I can climb up on a high horse myself without some asshat pretending to help me.
Jesus.
Lipa snatched some bills from Onanefe's hand.
I haven't seen drama like that since Shakespeare in the Bay.
She unlocked the door.
You can do better than this, honey.
I'm sure we all can. I hustled inside to the toilet, thankful it was also unlocked. When I returned to the sidewalk, Onanefe sat at a table with Lipa. They stirred tiny cups of espresso.
You want one?
It would be on the house. Your friend told me about your building. My condolences.
Thank you, but I've had enough caffeine for the day. My friend happened to tell you why we're here.
If the guy who attacked you hung around here, I'm happy to help you find him. I don't need that kind of reputation. You got a picture?
You okay with a local connection?
Looks like I'll have to be.
I blinked up the footage from my buffer and sent it direct to Lipa's pie. She blinked, then sneered.
This guy. He made a giant order last month. Enough pita and knedla for 100 people deliverable today. Me and my husband have been working our tails off, and then he shows up this morning and gives us some song and dance about not having cash and what with the public down.
Did he say what this was for?
Uh-uh. He only said it was for a social function. I wasn't gonna let him have anything, but then he yells and these two giants come in the door.
Giants? Like goon giant?
Just like that. If he hadn't surrounded himself with those goons, I'd have given him a bash.
I think I can take care of that for you. He leave an address? Lipa tapped her temple.
I always keep receipts. He's around the corner off Lutcham.
I know exactly where you mean. Pardon me. I just saw Red and marched up the street to Sarian's church. Onanefe kept pace, making sure not to get in my way.
Now, I hope you're not going to go in there swinging.
Don't worry. I'll be good and calm before I tear that white-suited son of a bitch a new one.
Well, what if he isn't there?
Then we'll see how fast word gets to him. If the public's down, he's got to have some way to communicate with his followers.
I really wish you'd have let me bring my crew.
What? You don't think I can handle this?
I just don't like goons, you know?
Join the club. The alley off Lutchen was packed. Tired teenagers slumped in the shrinking shadows, and kids painted the walls with smiley faces and strike. Some people drank tea from battered cane glass cups, their eyes unfocused and bloodshot. It was a majority freeborn crowd, and everyone handing out instruction sheets and directing groups in and out of the temple were also freeborn. One kid, who looked no older than 12, juggled three different clipboards.
Budvar!
One of the teenagers heaved herself out of a crouch, took a sheet of paper from clipboard girl, and ran off into the street. A woman in her 30s hovered nearby, adding or taking away paper from the clipboards. I nudged my way to the door, Onanefe sticking close to me. Ahead of us stood a group of exhausted women holding babies and bundles of clothes. In front of me was an old lady with a monstrous stack of cloth diapers. May I help you with that? Not waiting for an answer, I swept the diapers out of the old lady's hands and she turned. Her ink, an if-then logic gate, crinkled above a sweet and confused smile. I kept my head down as clipboard girl directed us inside.
Don't mess up the stacks!
The temple was a beehive. The place was packed with people talking about food runs, repairing PV cells, the best way to keep Brapati Causeway blocked to motor traffic, among other things. The tables that had been covered with food and clothes were now empty except for a man sitting on one cradling a baby. Everyone had sagging eyes and downturned mouths. The screen in the corner flicked on. There was Sarian, his eye a little swollen but still smiling.
Friends, this has been a glorious first week. Our labor action has already unified the planet into a harmonious accordion of love and activity. The struggle is reaping the fruit of our labors, your labor.
I looked at the screen. Behind Sarian was a wall covered in strike graffiti.
He's outside.
I pushed back to the door. Sarian stood at the end of the alley, the wall making a perfect backdrop. The two goons I'd met before, Gwendolyn and Kazis, held the crowd back, but for a few kids gathered at Sarian's sides. I squeezed my way to the front row and glared hard. Sarian's eyes flickered over to me.
And in closing, let us all lift our fists and continue on for the struggle.
Sarian walked right up to me.
If you're going to hit me again, please don't hit me in the face.
I'm not going to hit you again, though I hope you don't give me a reason to.
I heard what happened. I'm so glad you're all right.
Yeah, I bet. I don't have time to waste, Rudy. Who is this guy? I touched his temple, and he opened a connection to my photo. He blanched.
Oh, no. Are you sure?
You want me to send you footage of him stabbing me? Who is he?
Octavian Noon, one of the more fervent members of the congregation. Some of these kids, they get caught up in the talk about the struggle. And next thing you know, they're grabbing weapons and going out into the streets.
Did you send him for me, Rudy?
What? No! No, Padma! I would never do anything like that. This whole strike is supposed to be non-violent.
You know I can go to Sony Bagram and have you chucked back in the clink, right?
But I'm out. I was released.
That doesn't mean you're immune from going back on new charges, like conspiracy to commit murder. Sony hates conspiracy, and this looks like a textbook example. We got a firebrand preacher, we got a lunatic follower, and we got video footage of said follower using said preacher's words right after I get a knife sunk into my shoulder. Just one note from me and you're done. All this is done. Sony would cross a picket line for me. You think she'd stay behind it for you?
No, of course not. Please, Padma, don't. We're working so hard for everyone, even you. I should have kept Octavian on a short leash. Should have kept him from taking things so far. You understand that, right? Getting caught up in the heat of the movement?
I never felt the need to shank someone from the big three.
No, but you probably wanted to crack a few skulls, right? Please, Padma. It is getting tense out here. I'm hearing about people coming close to fighting, trying to settle old scores. If word gets out that someone made an attempt on your life, it could set off riots.
Over little old me?
Over a symbol of the Union's triumph over the big three. People are itching for an excuse to start swinging. It's harder to hold this coalition together than I thought, and if people hear that a freeborn man tried to stab a beloved Union member, that would be enough.
Beloved? I need to update my theme song.
Please, let me handle this. Can you trust me to keep everything under control?
That's a hell of a thing to ask.
I know. Our city, our world, it needs this to work. I need this to work. Don't make it for nothing. Please.
You're going to have to work a whole lot harder than that to earn my trust, Sarian. Anyone from your group so much as looks at me funny, I'm going straight to Sony and you're going back to Mersk. I looked up at the goons. Could I please get by? Gwendolyn? Kazis? Gwendolyn stared down at me, her mouth a hard, thin line. I'm sorry for everything I said about people in your profession. That was wrong. I think you're absolutely right to go on strike. The Union has been terrible to former security services personnel. Gwendolyn and Kazis exchanged glances.
Talk is cheap.
But I'm sure your rates aren't. Class 2 mechanist, right?
You really gonna try and buy us off?
No, but I will help hook you up with that better gig if you want. I nodded to Kazis. You too.
It's all right. Friends, let's let Padma go on her way, please.
The two former goons took a few steps back. The air felt cooler and freer, and man, were those two big. I nodded my thanks and walked out of the alley, doing my best to keep my steps straight. Onanefe stood by the temple door, fiddling with the ruins of his mustache. His eyes didn't leave Gwendolyn and Kazis, even when I staggered by and grabbed his elbow. He didn't turn his head until we got to the mouth of the alley.
You okay?
Yeah, just feels like I've done a 3G drop down the cable.
I have no idea what that means.
Just imagine all the blood in your body getting squished in place so your brain doesn't get any. Also, where the hell were you? What about sticking by me?
I don't get involved with goons. I've had clients who employ them, and they're nasty business. Like having sentient bulldozers.
They're not that bad once you get to know them.
I'm perfectly happy not doing that, thanks.
Do you mean to tell me that the big bad cane cutter is afraid of a little goon?
Oh, no. Just the big ones, which is all of them. You learn anything?
I told him about Sarian's guilty looks and his babbling. He seemed more worried about how the whole thing looked than how it was going.
That doesn't sound like an evil mastermind.
No. I have the feeling Sarian's gotten in way over his head.
Then what's your plan?
I blinked up the time. 1 p.m. Lunch wasn't a bad idea. Getting to the nearest of my backup 6 o'clock rooms was better. We need to go to Bakara Market.
That's 5 clicks away.
6. We'll probably have to take side alleys.
Whatever you need, I'm sure we can find it here.
I just shook my head and walked up Lutchen. Bakara, and I should remind you that you insisted on sticking with me. You can't hack a little walk.
6 clicks is nothing. When I was starting out, it was a 10K walk to our work sites, and that was with my tools.
Was it uphill both ways with a headwind?
Yes, in fact, it was. Well, not uphill, but I got onshore winds going to work sites and offshore on the way home. It made riding my bike that much harder.
Looks like you did well enough to jump up to a truck.
That damn thing. It eats as much as my teenage nephews. Every time it breaks down, I wonder if it was worth the expense. And it's getting harder to find parts or a mechanic I can afford. You know, the guy I used to go to, he was freeborn, moved to the city, picked up the trade. He had a great business going. And then the materiel committee decided there weren't enough serviceable Hanumans on the planet to push for better prices for parts. So my guy figures, okay, he can start making the parts himself, right? He rustles up a metallurgist who knows a gal with a forge, talks a couple of design guys into making templates. He's gonna become his own supplier, right? And it works out for a while. Enough to recoup some of his costs and keep my truck running. Until the lady who runs the forge gets sick and can't work anymore. The whole supply chain collapses almost overnight. Who does my guy have to turn to? Who do I have to turn to?
The union.
Why would we do that?
Because if enough owners of McDonald Heavy Hanumans screamed bloody murder at the people who live off dues, then maybe you'd still be getting parts. Or they'd have found someone else willing to run the forge. Or found some other way to get you what you need. If you want to play, you gotta pay.
Pay?
Says the man who wants his 50K.
I had a contract for goods rendered, not that piracy you call dues.
You make it sound so dirty.
And you don't think it is? You once signed your life away, literally signed it away. You come here, and what do? Sign up with another outfit that takes a chunk of your pay.
That's how society works.
But that's not how it has to work.
Oh, Christ. Are you going to start talking about anarcho-syndicalism or some other crap like that?
You think tramping on human liberty is crap?
I think talking instead of working is crap. I think trying to organize people without listening to them is crap. And I think hearing the same recycled labor theory glurge over and over again is complete and utter crap.
You don't have to be so harsh about it.
Every 6 months, some kid gets to the Marxism section on the public library, and then there's a lot of speeches and noise without anyone doing the work. This is what speeches get you. Everyone is pissed off, but no one is asking for anything, let alone demanding. All the talk about history select smacks of people who want to vent and be famous for a couple of days without doing the goddamn work. I've stuck with the union because there are people in it who do the work every day.
Looks like they've been slacking on the job.
No arguments there.
So, is that what you're going to do at Bacara? The work?
What, you don't think I can?
The time for any of you union people to quit gabbling and do the work was about 20 years ago when y'all were prepping the contract. That was when you could have built a true coalition between Freeborn and Union, back when the traffic was high, the prices were strong, and we all had a real dose of power. But no, you had to piss it away.
First of all, 20 years ago, I was still living the life corporate, so you can stow that you Union people crap right the hell now. And second, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I thought you were supposed to be a big wheel in the Union.
I was just a ward chair. Where did you get that idea?
Your theme song.
When she sits at the table, negotiations stop. When she lists her demands, the Sky Queen comes on top.
Oh, that bloody song.
Do you mean to tell me that the oral traditions of Santee Anchorage aren't accurate? No, seriously, I just heard through the grapevine that you had the executive council's ear.
The grapevine is wrong. After my little trip up the cable, none of them would touch me if I were covered in money.
Which brings me back to what I was talking about. All the cash that was left on the table. Well, it was hypothetical cash, but still...
What money?
You really don't know. 2 contracts ago, the union and all the freeborn were on the verge of uniting forces. Instead of the union doing all the negotiations with the big three, we'd enter into a compact and do it together. Everything would be distributed fairly. Profits, benefits, education, healthcare, tech. There'd be no more trickling down of money from the city to the campong.
This was all news to me. Go on.
Not much else to tell. Depending on who you talk to, one side said the other overreached and the whole thing collapsed.
What did the freeborn want?
The usual. A bigger cut of cane profits, better infrastructure, more clinics in the campong. Plus an acknowledgement of the freeborn contribution to the thriving mess that is Santee Anchorage.
Since when is that not acknowledged?
See? That's just what I'm talking about. You want to dismiss me?
I do not.
Are you saying I don't know what my own life has been like? I was born on Santee. My parents and their parents' parents born here. I grew up in the shadow of the Union, pushing us around, calling us peasants because we didn't want to join up.
And where did your great-grandparents come from? Did they spontaneously generate out of the ground?
No, they were breeches.
Uh-huh. That we were here first argument doesn't wash, and you know it. Trace any freeborn family back, and they came from breeches or shareholders or someone connected to the Union. And the Union keeps money and gear flowing until we get enough homegrown science and industry to cut ourselves loose from the big three. You want to tell me of a single freeborn scientist or engineer whose work has been turned away? Can you name one?
That's beside the point. We have to rely on the Union, and you, I mean, the Union leadership knows it. Just like they know the Union depends on the big three. We're all dependents. The people who walked away from the table 20 years ago knew that, and the people on the street today know that.
And you think this strike is going to stop that?
I know there are just as many Union people marching as there are freeborn. Is that such a bad thing?
It is when no one knows what they're marching for.
You think that?
I know it.
And what do you base that assertion upon?
You know, for a guy who spends his days cutting cane, you sound a lot more like one of us gabbling Union people.
Hey, you gotta learn how to play the game if you want to win. I study, you know?
And so do I. Which is why this is nothing like the last two strikes I've seen. You make your demands before you hit the streets, not the other way around. This is theater.
You want to bet?
I'll bet you a case of old windswept.
Which kind?
Standard, of course.
Not a bottle of 10-year?
Oh, don't you start on me, too. There's no such thing as 10-year. That was Estella Tongau's magical marketing bullshit. But the two cases of Standard, I'm betting, are real.
Okay, then. And what if you win? Because I'm not giving up the 50K.
Then you give up your cut. And before you protest about me ripping you off, I'll make sure it's rum made before I took over. That I still have.
You are on.
We shook on it. I let go and stopped the first passerby, a man with a young girl perched on his shoulders. Excuse me, could you tell me why you're marching today? For the rest of the way to Bakara Market, we talked to everyone going our way who would talk back. I heard complaints about preschool cutbacks, about broken sidewalks, about how the latest Pi firmware update made this one guy's implant play the Lincolnshire Poacher in the middle of the night, every night, for a month. The only people who wouldn't talk to me were the ones wearing temple pins. They scooted away as soon as I approached them. I recorded all of it, making as much space as I could on my buffer. And with every interview, I got confirmation. Everyone was angry, everyone wanted something done about what was making them angry, but no one had any plans on how to accomplish that. While Onanefe was talking to people across the street, I was questioning a man handing out shelled coconuts. He had parked a loaded Bakfiets on the corner of Jodhpur and Fleetwood.
I just heard people were marching, and I figured, hey, it's about time I did too.
But you're standing here.
All my stock's going to rot. Might as well write it off and keep people from dehydrating.
So, what do you hope to get from being out here? He whacked at a coconut with a machete, then handed me the cleaned-up fruit and a straw.
I want the executive committee to do their goddamn jobs.
I walked up Jodhpur, sipping my coconut water. Onanefe waved at me from across the street, and I wove my way through the crowd. He had a wood cup full of lychees in his hand, and he offered me one.
Well?
I know what I saw and heard.
Which is?
6 kilometers of angry people with no focus. Onanefe made a face, then spat out a lychee.
We're still not at Bakara. I'm not giving up.
You might want to. Not even the freeborn I talked with had any idea of why they were marching. Everyone's out in the streets because everyone's out in the streets.
I just don't get this. Last time we all had our act together. We had solidarity.
There's that Union talk again.
Well, I'm not so high and mighty that I can't rip off a perfectly good idea to suit my own needs, okay? Besides, if there's any one thing we freeborn need, it's sticking together.
Well, you're all certainly following each other out of the campong and into the streets. I tried not to smirk as we rounded the corner to the edge of Bakara Market. Onanefe stepped in front of me and turned around.
I didn't get a good enough representative sample.
Ha! No one likes a sore loser.
It wasn't enough! This is a heavy Union route you took us on, and there will be a lot more freeborn in the market.
Yes, of course, your quantitativeness.
You don't have to get sarcastic about it.
Any other day, Bakara Market would have been a great place to visit. It was one of the first structures the first breaches had built. A beautiful open-air lattice of coral steel, pane glass roof tiles, and PV cells. It kept cool in the day and warm at night, thanks to the system of louvered shades that ringed the lattice. It stayed open 26 hours a day, sold just about everything there was to sell, and was now a complete and utter mess. People jammed the aisles, grabbing and pushing for anything left in the stalls. Two men held a tug of war over a packet of biryani spice mix next to a table stained with turmeric and paprika. Old ladies wrestled for the remaining packages of lug nuts at Bernice's Pick-a-Peck Parts. Kids wailed, Union and Freeborn people yelled at each other, and something in the back of my head snapped. I had had my fill of this bullshit, and it was time for it to end. I grabbed the wrench from my trouser loop, climbed atop a table, and started whacking the wrench on a coral steel strut.
What are you doing?
People winced and clutched their heads. I forgot that my pie was still pinging everyone nearby, so my words blasted right into their eyeballs. A few people gave me smiles, the rest glared. I pointed my wrench at the mob.
This is not how it's supposed to go! Whatever's gotten you angry, is it bad enough to get you to turn on strangers? On your neighbors?
There's no food!
Just because the Freeborn are blocking the farm! That's a lie!
You're a liar!
Or survive!
I banged the wrench on the strut so hard that sparks flew.
Enough! Everyone here has gotten screwed at some point in their lives. I used to be a ward chair, and now I muck out the holding tanks at the bottom of the Brushhead Waterworks. I spend every day covered in filth. I'm sure a lot of you do, too. And you know what keeps me going? It's the knowledge that, as bad as things may get for me, I'm not owned by Wawa anymore. I know that there are people here on Santee really looking out for me, even though I have to kick them in the ass to remind them of that. I know a lot of you are angry because you haven't gotten what you think you've earned. A lot of you think you've been ripped off by your bosses, or by the union, or by the person who sells you vegetables. The more I've talked with people, the more I'm convinced that you're right. Things have gone bad with the union. It's not living up to its end of the bargain. But is this the way to hold them to it? Fighting each other over tea and bolts? This is the kind of crap that the Big Three loves. When we fight each other, we forget to fight them. And do you want to let the Big Three win?
The people looked at me, then at each other.
Really? Contract time is less than a year away. The Big Three are betting that we won't have our act together so they can slip some new evil under our noses. You want that? You want to make even less than you do now?
People shook their heads.
Then you have to want a better life. You have to want to work together, because that's the only thing we've got. When we're united, union and freeborn, we are unstoppable. We have to work together. We have to fight together. And you look like people who want to fight. Am I right? I said, do you want to fight? Then start talking it out here. Then you take it to your ward chairs. Take it to the union hall, even if you're freeborn. Because whatever the Big Three are planning to do will screw you even harder.
I jumped off the table and pointed at the first person I saw.
You, what are you pissed off about?
After 2 hours, I ran out of buffer space on my pie, recording one story after another about pay cuts, evaporating benefits, or promised equipment never arriving. I got the names of everyone involved, the ward chairs who were supposed to make things happen, the committees that were accountable, the endless list of promises broken to everyone, union and freeborn alike. I cadged a notebook from a bookbinder's stall and a bunch of colored pencils from an art supplier, and even then I ran out of room. I had a whole volume of How I Got Screwed by the Union, written by the people of Bacara Market. I blinked up the time, 5 o'clock. My hand hurt from writing. My eye twitched from all the blinking. I thanked my last interviewee and saw Onanefe talking to a freeborn woman. He scribbled in a notebook, nodding. When he saw me, he finished up with her, stuffed the notebook in his satchel, and walked up to me.
You finally ready to go shopping?
Food first. You been busy?
A lot of people want to talk. I like to listen.
And record.
That a crime?
Uh-uh. Looks like someone doing the work.
I think I'd rather do the eating.
Then follow me. I know a place with great tacos.
I suppose I'm buying?
No, because I get tacos on credit.
Hmm.
I think I have much to learn from you.
Stick with me, mister. I'll take you places. We wove our way through the stalls. The mood had calmed, though I could see tension on everyone's faces, as if they were still waiting for something to happen. The vendors kept their patter to a minimum. Everyone kept blinking madly, the sign of pies on the fritz. The sharp wave of panic had died down, but I could feel the anger running through the people, like a low-level electric current just waiting for a gap to jump.
What's got you angry?
The usual. The unfairness of entropy, man's inhumanity to man, the fact that my favorite konbini upcharges for kimchi.
You want to keep it to yourself, fine.
I gave him a broad fuck-you smile. I don't know you. We're not friends. We're not colleagues. You claim I owe you money, so that means we have a transactional relationship. Feelings aren't part of that transaction.
Even though we have the same goal?
We do. That's news to me.
I watched you today. Every time you talk with someone, you lit up. You like this.
Because I know I'm going to use it to get Letitia Smythe off her ass. Never underestimate the motivational power of spite.
So, you've been done wrong, too.
I guess. Spend enough time waiting in muck, you'll think everyone's done you wrong.
Hey, asshole, don't you know network protocol? Quit fucking with my pie access.
Yeah, well, you quit fucking with my pie access.
You want to take it outside the market, jerk off?
You got it, asshole.
As they both stomped toward the exit, I noticed that next to us was a table covered in coil, multicolored network cables. A pair of cops stood by. Sony would have had their heads if she'd seen her people not breaking up arguments before they turned into brawls. Both of the arguers, I couldn't help but notice, had worn a temple pin. Even Sarian's people were losing their cool. But you know what? Right now, I just want to get dinner. We can worry about Letty later.
What? You think she's going to pay attention to you?
And that's when the network cables exploded. I looked over at Onanefe and reached for him, and another wave of cables flew over us. I warned both of us against the overturned table until we both huddled against a ragged tabletop. People jostled the table as they bumped the ends. I waited until the table stopped moving before I threw off the cables and gave Onanefe a nudge. You still alive?
I think I broke a rib.
I took my multi-tool from my trousers, thankful it hadn't tumbled out in the chaos. I snapped open the shears and cut away the cables around his body. Oh, just stay still. I'll find help.
I think the help went with the mob. What was that?
No idea. Can you breathe? Good enough. I got under his arm and helped him up. Please don't faint on me. It looked like a hurricane had swept through the market. Everything that wasn't made of coral steel had been smashed to pieces. Awnings were torn apart, tables snapped in half, and fruit, clothes, and electronic components lay scattered on the ground. There were a few other wounded people with bloodied faces and limbs hanging at weird angles. But as I looked toward the west edge where Hawa kept her stall, I saw no damage. The line of wreckage moved in a thin straight line from Parkhurst to Jaimon, 200 meters long. It was like a stampede of very narrow bison had plowed its way through the market. The small amount of damage wasn't enough to keep the other vendors open, however. As I helped Onanefe toward Hawa's stall, I saw everyone had closed up shop. What couldn't be rolled up, stowed, or boxed had simply been dumped into wheelbarrows and bakfietsen and taken away. Hawa's stall was one of the few permanent ones, more of an open-air office than a tent. The front was all display boards, but the back was a poor-form shed with enough room for four people. By the time we got there, the coral steel door to the shed was closed, and chicken wire wrapped around the now emptied front. An embroidered sign, "All done for the day, thank you," hung from the wire. Above the sign was a crocheted figure of a woman holding a spiked cricket bat. Tiny crocheted heads hung from the woman's belt, their eyes now adorable stitched X's. I banged on the chicken wire with my free hand. Hawa! I need you!
We're closed!
I can see that, but I still need you! It's Padma! Hawa opened the door enough to see me.
Shit!
She was an elegant woman who decorated her hand-knitted hijab with strings of glass beads. She had a starfield and sextant tattooed on her cheek.
This isn't a good time.
I pay you 500 yuan a month for times just like this.
I've got all my stock in here, plus my granddaughter.
Then we'll be very careful and polite as we take shelter. You gonna let us in, or do I have to start telling everyone that you farm out your needlework?
Shh!
She strode to the chicken wire and unwrapped it. I helped Onanefe through the gap.
You want to ruin me?
Of course not. I love the scarves you make.
Who's this?
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam. At least he's got manners, more than I can say for you, Padma, showing up in the middle of a riot. Get your asses inside.
Hawa shut the door behind us and threw four bolts into place. The poor form walls kept the inside of the shed cool, though I felt little balls of heat from the two lamps overhead. Stacks of knitwear went from floor to ceiling. A teenage girl sat at a tiny table, knitting needles in hand. I eased Onanefe into a chair opposite her. How long you been holed up in here?
Long enough.
Hawa fussed over a tiny teapot with equally tiny copper cups. They looked like giant thimbles. She made a tall, precise pour into each one. The smell of heavy mint filled the office.
I opened up this morning and could tell it was going to be a weird day. Everybody was snapping up staples or meds or anything that could make for a good weapon. And no one knew why. No one talked about what they were worried about. Just that they were worried.
She handed each of us a cup and toasted us.
One gulp. You lose flavor if you sip.
We downed our tea, and I felt something like relief rush from the back of my head down to my toes. You got any pain meds? He got stepped on.
Uh-uh. My first aid kit got boosted yesterday. Why don't you give him a slug of that rum?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, please. You think I don't know what's in your stash?
I paid you to keep it, no questions asked.
I didn't ask. I just looked. A case of old windswept and some candles? Is that really worth 5 C's a month?
Seriously? What is it, some kind of special blend?
No, it's just the plain stuff. From what I understand, you make good rum, but it can't be that good.
I want a refund, right now, all of it.
Then you're welcome to step outside and talk to my banker. She's probably ransacking the neighboring stalls.
Where is it? Hawa made a big show of sifting through the piles of knitwear. In the middle of a stack of onesies was a canvas sack. She smiled as she reached in. Seriously? 500 for a bag?
You know what the secret is to maintaining a good holding company. Misdirection.
She pulled a battered pad from the bag and tapped its screen. The lamps winked out, then blacklight LEDs embedded in the ceiling winked on. The poor form walls came alive with star charts and circuitry diagrams. Hawa ran her fingers over the constellations and tapped at a scrawled keypad on the wall. She nodded to Onanefe.
Can you scoot 10 centimeters to your left, dear? I don't want you to get a concussion.
Onanefe slid to the side. Hawa put her palm flat against an outline of a hand, decorated, I had noticed, with feathers, eyes, and a beak, and the portion of the wall where Onanefe's head had been chunked open. Hawa tugged at the panel of poor form, and two wire racks on rails slid up from the ground. In the racks were bundles of blue boys, three foil bags covered in biohazard stamps, a Khanjar dagger in a silver sheath, what looked like the components of an automatic pistol, boxes of ammunition, and, tucked behind a skein of purple yarn, a crate holding my candles and my bottles of old windswept. Hawa pulled a candle and a bottle out of the rack.
Is this worth your 500?
I plucked the bottle out of her hands and grabbed a candle out of the crate. Thank you. Now, if you'll excuse me. I walked to the door and started throwing bolts.
What do you think you're doing?
Going out. I need some privacy.
To drink? Are you nuts?
I'll be right back.
I think not. You step out of here, Padma. I'm locking the door behind you. It's insane outside, and I'm not going to let it get in here.
But you let us in?
That was before I knew you were going to go right back out. As of a few minutes ago, you've reclaimed your stuff. That means our deal is done. You want to have a nightcap in the middle of that madness, you go on ahead. But you can't come back in.
You got any matches?
What? It's not enough to wade into a riot. You want to start a fire, too?
No questions asked. You got a light or what?
Maybe. You can't tell me why you're going to commit suicide first?
Good Lord, Hawa, could you knock off the theatrics? There is no angry mob. There is no riot. Okay, not anymore.
You got some kind of problem? Let me help you. Whatever it is, I...
Christ almighty, I am not an alcoholic, okay? I'm not some rummy who needs to get liquored up to deal with stress. I just have to step out for all of 60 seconds, and then I'm done. Hawa moved to block the door.
Padma, please, don't do this. Whatever you need to do out there can wait until it's safe.
I blinked up the time. 5:47. No, it can't. I gave her a kiss on the cheek, kicked open the bolt in the floor, and went outside.
Oi!
I turned. Onanefe held onto a strut as he took an unsure step toward me.
We had a deal.
No, we had a bet, which you lost.
Semantics.
I'm not going to run off and leave you stranded, okay? I just have something to do.
That you can't do inside, where it's safe, and there's tea?
I need privacy.
Look, I understand about habits, okay? I've had plenty of friends who get hooked, and...
Oh, fuck you! You can take your concern and sanctimony and shove them up your ass, okay? I am not an addict off to get a fix. I have something I need to do at 6 o'clock, and if I don't, things will get unpleasant for both of us.
What, are you some kind of werewolf?
None of your business.
You don't trust me?
I don't know you. You miraculously showed up at my flat when it was on fire. Then you miraculously said I owe you a boatload of money. You know what that sounds like to me? A setup. A great big setup to relieve me of something, and I don't have the time, the energy, or the network connection to figure it out. What I do have is a pain in my ass and an appointment at 6. Guess which one is more important to me now? Besides, if there's anyone who shouldn't have to prove trust, it's me. I saved your ass from getting crushed. You don't get to lecture me about trust.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You got something to take care of? Okay. I know your reputation, that you're this badass, that you don't take any crap. But I saw something else in you today. You worry, you care, you give a shit. And right now, Santee needs more people like that. And it fucking kills me to think that you're gonna take that bottle and wander out here
and... all that can wait for 5 minutes, I promise. I patted him on the arm and walked away as quickly as I could without making it look like I was running. I passed an abandoned food stall, the coals under the grill smoldering. A corner of the stall's dark blue awning flapped loose. I set the bottle and candle down next to the grill and set myself up. The awning came down with a few sharp tugs. The stall's owner had left all her tools out, including a bundle of rags for cleaning the grill. I wrapped a rag around a spatula, dipped it in a bowl of cooking oil, then set it on the grill. It ignited into flame, and I lit the candle. I plopped on the ground in front of the candle and threw the awning over me. I blinked up the time. 5:59. I cracked the seal on the bottle. The smell of old windswept, that smell of pear and cinnamon, wafted upward, overpowering the must and smoke. For a moment, I knew right where I was, in a makeshift tent in Bakara Market in Halwadag, on the northeast edge of Santee City. I let my mind's eye fly upwards, above the haze and the crowded streets, above the network dark buildings and cafes, up and up, past the orbital anchor and out into occupied space, higher and farther than the ripples of today's madness could travel. I was a speck, an invisible dot on an invisible dot in an ocean of stars I could never comprehend, but I knew where I was. Onanefe was right where I'd left him. I handed him the bottle. Done. He held the bottle up to the failing light and sloshed the rum.
Looks like you barely started.
He unscrewed the cap.
You mind?
Help yourself.
Oh, strong. But smooth.
That was from the first batch I made after I took over. I was terrified I'd get it wrong, send the whole place under.
Oh, you got it right. Madame Tongao would always send us off with a bottle after we delivered. Everyone else on the crew cracked theirs right away, but I never opened mine. Figured I'd save them for special occasions.
You know there's a market for the stuff she made? You could probably sell those bottles and get a better chunk than what you think I owe you.
50,000 yuan worth of rum?
Try 100K. Collectors are weird. They came sniffing around after I took over, offering me cash for used barrels. They all wanted a piece of her.
Uh-huh. Madame Tongao would talk about stuff like that. People always coming from the co-op, pestering her about selling bits of equipment or buying into weird schemes. She'd give them that smile, you know, the one that says, "Yes, dear, that's nice. Now shove off."
I wish I'd spent more time with her. I was so focused on buying the distillery that we didn't do much more than talk business. I took another pull and handed him the bottle. She probably could have helped me deal with those assholes from the co-op. Did you know they wanted my cane?
Maybe I should send them the bill.
You'd have even less chance of getting it then. The co-op board got caught up in some stupid speculation scheme, and with the labor stoppage... The co-op doesn't have cane. The cane isn't coming because you guys have stopped working. You've stopped working because you haven't gotten paid.
What's that?
Who else hasn't been getting paid?
Well, everyone. All the crews.
Heirloom and industrial?
We don't discriminate. We get a call to cut, we go.
But it wasn't like you were getting paid for one and not the other, right?
Right. Why?
Because she wants this to happen. She wants the strike to happen and to burn itself out. Why?
Who is she?
The Prez.
Letty?
Uh-huh. She burnt my building down on purpose.
Well, she was there?
Do you know her? And I mean, know her as a person, not as the Prez?
It's complicated.
Don't you dare tell me you were an item, because that is the last bit of weirdness I need right now.
Worse, we were political partners back in the day.
Holy crap! You're with the FOC, aren't you?
And proud of it. Hell, I helped found our local chapter with Letty. Then she took off for the city and joined the union.
How long ago was that?
2 contracts. We'd spent 2 years going from one farm to the next, talking with every freeborn about working together. The old-timers wanted to defer to the union, but Letty and me, we wanted freeborn seats at the table. We'd seen our parents and their parents work their tails off, taking pride in how they'd remained free and independent when they were working for Zhao on the Yuan. My folks were good people, but they were scared. They didn't want to risk the little they had asking for what they were worth. Letty and I weren't scared. We were going to make things better.
I don't suppose this is the better you had in mind. Were you in Brushhead to meet with Letty?
I can't really talk about that.
You and I are going to end this shit right now.
We are?
Yep. Whatever secret business you and Letty were going to hammer out, we're going to make it happen.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come off it, Onanefe. You and Letty were going to meet, but Letty set fire to my place. She got to whisk herself away from whatever it was you were going to discuss, and now the strike has turned to chaos. There's no organization. There's no discipline. There's just a whole lot of angry people breaking stuff. And once that blows over, we'll go right back to status quo. Whatever it was you wanted to change won't happen unless we make it happen. So come on.
Where?
I caught a whiff of shawarma. Over there. It's never a good idea to talk treason on an empty stomach. And you're buying. One of the food stalls had reopened, and a few dozen people huddled over their plates of kumara cakes and pita. Even the tough-looking security women ate there, their bats tucked up under their arms. The man running the stand wouldn't take our money as he handed us 2 plates.
No point in letting this spoil. And the banks are closed, and what the hell? Solidarity, what?
I handed him the bottle of old windswept. He winked, and the smiley face tattoo on his cheek crinkled.
Oh, cheers.
We shoveled food into our mouths. I didn't bother to slow myself down. This wasn't a time to save her. It was a time to plan and get angry.
We won't be able to find her, so we'll have to draw her out.
How should we start?
The old-fashioned way would be to just complain to a few people and wait for word to get out on the public. You get enough complaining, and some minion would scurry over to take reports and assure everyone that things would get done.
Except the whole city is complaining right now, and the public's down.
Right, which means we have to boost our signal above the noise. What would you do?
It's not enough to complain. We have to get her angry. We have to call her integrity into question.
Uh-huh. We need focus. I looked at people around us until I saw what I needed. And there it is. I headed over to one of the security guards. Hey, you know who I am? She stopped chewing long enough to size me up.
Should I?
I pointed at the ink on her cheek, a megaphone. You used to do Big 3 PR.
I'm a security consultant now.
And what I have to tell you concerns not only the security of this market, but of the entire union. The entire planet, even. What's your name?
Who wants to know?
Padma Mehta. I'm with the Stipend and Benefits Reinstatement Committee.
Tokasha. What committee is that?
The one I'm starting right now, and I'd like you to join me. What are you getting paid to work here?
15 yuan an hour.
And no hazard pay?
For what?
Are you kidding? For the riot. The women looked at each other, their faces bunched up in worry.
We're, not supposed to call it that.
What was it then?
A spontaneous human outburst incident.
Where did that come from?
Look, this is a really weird time, okay? We get discounts on food for our families by working here. If we upset our boss, we're out of a gig. And this is the best gig I can get right now.
Uh-huh. I've been hearing that a lot. Which is all the more reason for you all to be pissed off. This isn't how things are supposed to work here. It's bad enough when the big three are messing with us. This is a union job, isn't it? Kasha and her co-workers gave me small nods.
The manager didn't want to pay police rates.
Doesn't matter. You're getting hosed.
Then what do we do?
The first thing you do is talk with everyone who works with you and get names and times of meetings. We can't pull up anything from the public to back up your testimony, but we can sure as hell start preparing things.
Oh, more talking.
No, focused talking. Because after we're done here, we're going to find out who else is in the same boat as you. Who else isn't getting their fair wages? Who else is having their livelihood stolen through paperwork? I've seen a lot of angry people all day, and believe you me, we got allies out there. But if we want the prezzes here, we need to be prepared. Are you in? Or do you want to go back to scrounging for leftover tabbouleh? The security women made faces as they weighed their options.
The tabbouleh's not that bad.
The quality of the food isn't the point. This woman's right. What happened today was a full-on riot, and we got sent out here with no armor, no instructions, no police backup. I'm with you, Padma.
The other women all nodded in agreement. By the time the shawarma stand was out of food, the security women had brought over other merchants, and they told us about how they'd had to pay extra rent for security measures that never arrived. One, a middle-aged guy with welding spot scars up and down his arms and an old clipper ship tattoo on his face, spoke up.
We're ruined. I put everything into my business, and it all got washed away by those looters. And now I can't find the market manager or my union rep or anyone.
I nodded and blinked in his testimony. I'm going to make sure you get restitution. Can you find anyone else who's gotten nailed by this... what did you call it?
It was an enhanced logistical fee. Never heard such garbage before. But look, you know, the market manager, he said I couldn't keep my stall if I didn't kick in.
You know anyone else in your ward who had to pay it?
Only everyone. Didn't matter what their trade was. Hell, even my wife, she runs a kindergarten. She had to pay. What, the kids are gonna riot? Please.
That is indeed some serious bullshit. And we're going to take this right to your manager and then to whoever told him to put the squeeze on you, all the way up to Letty Arbusto Smythe. Because you know this is because she's falling down on the job.
Yeah, but you think it'll change anything?
We won't know unless we do it. Onanefe was talking with a few freeborn men who also had market stalls. As I approached, Onanefe prodded one of them on the arm. What's your problem?
I don't know her.
Well, you don't know me either.
But I know about you. Her? She's just another ink.
Not just any ink. I'm the one who's going to help you get back what you lost.
And what's that?
Nothing less than your pride.
Wow, she's good. I might actually buy her bullshit.
It's not. We're going straight to the prez's office, and Padma here is going to kick in the door.
You serious?
As a heart attack. Whatever you told Onanefe, we need it to build our case. We're going to take her down. Tell everyone you know. After a few more handshakes, the freeborn left the market. So had everyone else. By now, night had fallen, and none of the street lamps had come on. The purple moon was a quarter full. We started walking toward Shah Jahan Road.
You think your friend will let us back in? Feels a little bleak out here.
We need to find more people. I figure we'll spend another couple of hours talking with marchers, and that should boost the signal enough to get Letty's attention.
It's just that, you know, it's dark.
I stopped at the edge of the market. You're from the Kampong.
Where we use lights. You ever march through a cane field in the middle of the night? It's not fun. You got cane vipers, cane toads, cane rats. You ever seen a cane rat?
Onanefe tensed, his fists up. I pulled him with me into the shadows of a shuttered konbini.
What was that?
Probably nothing.